టెక్స్ట్ 16, కెంటో 2 చాప్టర్ 5 టెక్స్ట్ 16. This chapter of Canto 2 is titled as The Cause of All Causes. The Cause of All Causes. The verse is as follows.
Narayana Paro Yogo.
Narayana Paro Yogo.
Narayana Param Tapa.
Narayana Param Tapa.
Narayana Param Jnanam. పరాగతి నారాయణ పరో యోగో నారాయణ పరం తప నారాయణ పరం జ్ఞానం నారాయణ పరాగతి నారాయణ పరో యోగో నారాయణ పరం జ్ఞానం నారాయణ పరాగతి.
Salvation ends by entering the kingdom of Narayana.
The path of salvation ends by entering the kingdom of Narayana.
Gati.
Gati.
Progressive path.
Progressive path.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All different types of meditation or mysticism are means for realizing Narayana. All different types of meditation or mysticism are means for realizing Narayana. All austerities are aimed at achieving Narayana. All austerities are aimed at achieving Narayana. The culture of transcendental knowledge is for getting a glimpse of Narayana. Culture of transcendental knowledge is for getting a glimpse of Narayana, and ultimately salvation is entering the kingdom of Narayana. Ultimately, salvation is entering the kingdom of Narayana. So there are many points given here. All types of meditation, all types of mysticism, all types of austerities, all types of knowledge, culture of transcendental knowledge, and ultimately salvation is all centered around attaining Narayana and for his pleasure. Purport of Srila Prabhupada. In meditation, there are two systems of yoga, namely Ashtanga Yoga and Sankhya Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga is practice in concentrating the mind, realizing oneself from all engagements by the regulative processes of meditation, concentration, sitting postures, blocking the movements of the internal circulation of air, etc. Sankhya Yoga is meant to distinguish the truth from ephemerals. But ultimately, both the systems are meant for realizing the impersonal Brahman. Which are the two systems? Sankhya Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga. Both lead to realization of the impersonal Brahman, which is but a partial representation of Narayana, the personality of Godhead. As we have explained before, the impersonal Brahman effulgence is only a part of the personality of Godhead. Impersonal Brahman is situated on the person of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, Brahman is the glorification of the personality of Godhead. This is confirmed both in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Matsya Purana. Gati refers to the ultimate destination or the last word in liberation. Oneness with the impersonal Brahma Jyoti is not ultimate liberation. Superior to that is the sublime association of the personality of Godhead in one of the innumerable spiritual planets in the Vaikuntha sky. Therefore, the conclusion is that Narayana or the personality of Godhead is the ultimate destination for all kinds of yoga systems as well as all kinds of liberation. That's the key line. Whenever Srila Prabhupada says, in conclusion, then that is a punchline of the whole purport. And what is it? Let's read again. Therefore, the conclusion is that Narayana or the personality of Godhead is the ultimate destination for all kinds of yoga systems as well as all kinds of liberation.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Mahamvande Shri Guru Dinatarinam वांचाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ
ಪರಂ
ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತಥೋ ಜಯಮುಧೀರಯೇತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಭಗವತೀ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಆಲ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಡಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆರ್ ಮಿಸ್ಟಿಸಿಸಮ್ ಆರ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ರಿಯಲೈಸಿಂಗ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಆಲ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಏಮ್ಡ್ ಅಟ್ ಅಚೀವಿಂಗ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಕಲ್ಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಈಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಎ ಗ್ಲಿಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಅಂಡ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ ಸ್ಯಾಲ್ವೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ಎಂಟ್ರಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಕಿಂಗ್ಡಮ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ. ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಐ ಬಿಗಿನ್ ದ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ I beg your pardon because I'm a last minute speaker. The original speaker is not available today. So please accept me as a standby and please pardon any imperfections in the class as a result of that. Okay. So as we were discussing before, this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is titled as The Cause of All Causes. This chapter is a samvad or conversation that is happening between Srila Narad Muni and Lord Brahma, who is his father and spiritual master. The context is, Narad Muni apparently seems to be enamored by the supramundane things that Lord Brahma is able to manifest. So there is some awe and reverence on the part of Narad Muni towards Lord Brahma. So Narad Muni is almost tending to think that Lord Brahma is almost there as God. However, as Narad Muni is thinking like that, he also knows that but this Lord Brahma, who is able to create so many things, he is also worshipping someone at the end of the day. So that is going on his mind, and as a part of clarifying that doubt, he is asking Lord Brahma, you are creating such wonderful things, you are so powerful, but at the end of the day you also seem to be worshipping someone and deriving the powers to create from some other higher source. So are you the supreme personality of Godhead, or is there someone above you? No, that's the kind of mood that is there in these verses. So down the line, we'll talk about why a realized personality such as Narad Muni is having this doubt. You know, that is the first thing that comes to mind. Why is Narad Muni having a doubt? After all, he is a Mahajan. So why is Narad Muni having this question, when you and I don't have this question? Again, you and I have learned from Narad Muni only. So it's a kind of a tricky situation, and Prabhupada clarifies why it happens. So we'll come to that a bit later. So the chapter is titled The Cause of All Causes. Now in this world, if we see, everyone has a different view on what is the cause of all causes. For example, 99% of the people, what is the view they have? They don't care. 99% of the people don't care what is the cause of all causes. They'll say, humko kya lena dena hai. So what if someone is the cause of all causes? At the end of the day, all I am interested in is in my own sweet world and how to make that world successful. So how does it matter who is the cause of all causes? Whatever is there, let me enjoy that. Some causes produce effects. Let me enjoy the effects and be happy. So most of the people don't care. Amongst those who care, most of them are speculators. They say that the Big Bang is the cause of all causes. Those who are scientific-minded, so-called scientific-minded. they think material science and material phenomenon or phenomena is the cause of all causes. So then you ask them, what is the cause of material phenomena? And the buck stops there. There is no answer to that. Recently in Back to Godhead, the latest version, Srila Prabhupada is conversing with his disciple. Disciple asking Srila Prabhupada, but the world was produced by chemicals, they say. Prabhupada said, who put the chemicals there that produced the world? And then there is no answer beyond that. So at some point in time, there is an impasse. You can't go beyond that. So this is the so-called Big Bang theory. Some people will say, no, Big Bang or Small Bang, whatever. But everything is, everything is energy. Energy is producing everything. Where is the energy coming from? I don't know that. But some energy is there. It was always there and it is producing things. So this is another idea of cause of all causes. Then there are those pious people, mostly from India. Who is the cause of all causes? Brahma. Brahma is the creator. Vishnu is the maintainer. And Shiva is the destroyer. So very simple. We call it as the Trinity. So we know it. Even a child knows this. Brahma creator. So these are the half pious people with half knowledge. Most of spiritual knowledge is in India, at least myself when I was young, I derived from what is called as the Amar Chitra Katha comics. It was available for 10 rupees. So it used to have cartoons and from there we derive most of the knowledge. It doesn't go, obviously it is nowhere near the depths what Bhagavatam will provide. So with this half knowledge, people think that Brahma is the cause of all causes. Because they do not have access to Srimad Bhagavatam, these pious people think as such. But for one who has read the Srimad Bhagavatam, one understands that the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with 10 subject matters, out of which the first two are Sarga and Visarga. Sarga is the primary creation and Visarga is the secondary creation. And we understand as devotees that Lord Brahma is only the secondary creator. He is the cause of Visarga. That too he is empowered by the Lord. Without the Lord's sanction, the Sarga cannot manifest as Visarga. It's just like, often we give this example in some of our programs, that when my wife goes to India, I know nothing in the kitchen, which many of you know. So I don't try to enter the kitchen much. So if I have to, when she goes out, she prepares idli batter, and then I simply use the idli batter, I take it, and I put it, which also I don't know how to do properly, but I put it in that pressure cooker and then it becomes idli. So suppose you walk into my house and you ask, Prabhu, very nice idlis you have made. Who has actually made the idlis? She has prepared all the batter, everything, put the right salt, everything is done. What I have just done is taken, and the process also she has explained to me. Please understand, you have to put it properly, keep enough water in the cooker, which I once forgot, and the whistle blew out. So the ingredients were provided by her, the process was explained by her, and then I have simply followed those instructions and the idli has automatically manifested because she has already told me that this is the process you must adopt. So all these processes, knowledge, everything is given by Krishna. Brahma is only transforming it from one form to the other, into a grosser form. The subtle is being transformed into a grosser form. So this is Sarga and this is Visarga, which only when we read Srimad Bhagavatam we will understand this. Then there are those jnanis who say that the cause of all causes is the supreme light. Light is the cause of all causes. Please understand, self-realization means that at the end of the day you will search everywhere and ultimately find that that light is within you. That light is nothing but a small spark of the infinite absolute light which is all pervading. And once you get self-realized, you will understand that. Ghatakash patakash. The air which is inside the pot is only inside the pot as long as the pot exists. When the pot breaks, then the same air which is inside is also outside. Therefore, you are that same light. Therefore, you are God. This is their philosophy. Therefore, who is the cause of all causes? You. Is it not that? Because I am same as God. So I am God. Everybody is God. So everybody is the cause of all causes. I am the cause for you. You are the cause for me. Like that. So it's a kind of deviant philosophy. At best, it has got some merits, which we will discuss, but it is still pretty suboptimal. And they call this light as the Brahman. So this philosophy is very different. And then as devotees, we have the highest philosophy. Even a child knows who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna. Even a child can say that. Because the devotees have access to Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, we understand that beyond Brahman is Bhagavan. Brahmeti paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdete. So there is a personality, and that light emanates from that personality. It's not that the personality, when comes in contact with the three modes of, when Brahman, that light comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, produces a personality, who is also limited by the three modes of material nature. So that is Mayavadi philosophy. And Lord Krishna clearly refutes that in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Brahmano hi patishta aham. He says that I am the source of Brahman. It is never said that Brahman, you know, is the source from where I have come. He never mentions that. But still the Mayavadis make that argument. To be very honest with all of you, in Kartik month, instead of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I spent 1 month reading the world's best Mayavadi book. I'm admitting that. The reason was that, because you know, we are doing this, teaching this Bhakti Shastri course. So every time Srila Prabhupada is hammering these Mayavadis, I thought, let me live the life of a Mayavadi for 4 weeks and see how it looks like. You know? So I wanted to do it for a long, long time. So I picked up one of the, you know, in fact, the world best-selling Mayavada book that is available. In fact, I went to Vrindavan, I purchased it also from there. You know? He was also shocked. Dhoti kurta mein aake Mayavadi book kyun le raha hai? You know, like that. So actually, went through the austerity. In Kartik month, you have to do one austerity, you know. What bigger austerity for a Vaishnava than reading Mayavadi book? So in one sense, I took that austerity. No? I was reading that. To live, to see how a Mayavadi thinks and why a Mayavadi is so convinced about what he is convinced about. Living the life of a Mayavadi, day to day, a day in the life of a Mayavadi. So I really wanted to understand, go deeper and understand that. And I had a lot of, I can say that it was a fruitful exercise. Lot of understanding, which gave me even more conviction that Srila Prabhupada saved us. Okay. This Mayavadi philosophy is very alluring. It entices you. And it captures you. And that's why people take to Mayavadi philosophy. Because it gives you half the truth. But it gives the half the truth in a very nice way. So you fall for it. Like that. So, there are a lot of good points also. And that's where the trap is. Mayavadi philosophy will give you a lot of good points. It will look very same. Arre, same, same. Aap bhi wahi bolte ho, you are also saying the same thing. I am also saying the same thing. So, there are a lot of similarities. And then there are those dangerous differences. Very, very dangerous differences. And even if those dangerous differences may seem to be very minute, at the end of the day, it can result in the difference between, you know, ending up somewhere else and ending up maybe in Los Angeles or ending up in Seattle. It can make that big a difference. Or ending up in Canada somewhere. Like that. So, these Mayavadis, they are completely convinced that the cause of all causes is impersonal. But they present a lot of beautiful points. To keep the author glued to the book. So in this book which I read, I don't want to name that book, but maybe many of you who know about the world's bestseller Mayavadi book will know what I'm talking about. So they say, they have some very good points, and I have noted down some of them, very interesting. They say that the cosmos is fairly chaotic, and if its laws could not operate without the sanction of human belief. The laws, I'll repeat, they say that the cosmos is fairly chaotic if its laws could not operate without the sanction of human belief. So there's a bit of a sarcasm here. which means they say they are correct. You know, even Vaishnava philosophy says that that the laws of nature do not operate on their own. They have put it slightly differently. They say they would be fairly chaotic if they cannot operate without the sanction of man. So it's not by the sanction of the man that, you know, the sun rises. If it were by the sanction of man, then you can imagine there will be one party which is the ruling party which will say the sun should rise today. There will be one opposition party, they say no, the sun should not rise today. No. So nothing will happen in the cosmos if the cosmos is driven by the will of man. So I thought that was an interesting point that they said. Then there was another interesting point they mentioned. They say anyone practicing scientific technique of God is a yogi, which we also agree. Prabhupada says yoga is science. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. And anybody can practice yoga. It doesn't matter whether you are married or whether you are unmarried. It doesn't matter. There is no varna ashrama constraints for yoga. Anybody can have union with God, which also we say. So there is a striking similarity. They say a true yogi may remain dutifully in this world. A true yogi may remain dutifully in this world like butter on water. Like when we serve, no? After some time, prasadam will be served, you know. If the muffins are there, then butter and butter is floating on water. But the butter is actually untouched by that water in one sense. No? It's just on the surface. So they say the true yogi may remain dutifully in the world like butter on water, maintaining a mental uninvolvement. Maintaining a mental uninvolvement with egotistical desires, yet playing his part in this world as an instrument of God. So they accept that we are all instruments of God. That is also common with Vaishnava philosophy. Okay, so very beautiful. Enticing you to read further. Are you the same? No? What they are talking? They talk about values. This one statement which appealed to me from there is, it's a big book, so I'm just taking some select statements. They say, those who habitually speak the truth develop the power of materializing their words. Those who habitually speak the truth develop the power of materializing their words. What commands they utter from the heart will come true. So they say, if you always speak the truth, then whatever you say will come true. So truth gives you power, which is also fine, because truthfulness is a quality of a brahmana. They also talk about the power of institutionalization, of giving bhakti to the world, institutionalizing bhakti, which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj did by establishing the Gaudiya Math. Srila Prabhupada followed suit by establishing ISKCON. So they say that institutionalization is essential. God is honey and organizations are hives. So both are necessary. Which was another interesting point. Again aligned. Everything is aligned so far. And then they talk about what is the goal of human form of life. And what is the goal of human form of life, they say? Attainment of love of God. I thought they will say that. I thought they'll say the goal of human form of life is to attain Brahman. And then I say, yes, I caught you here. You know, they say attainment of love of the divine absolute is the goal of life. Which is also fine, because that's what Prabhupada also says. Attainment, prem. Prem is the goal of life. So there also they are in sync. And every time, so now I was thinking that, wow, this is profound. You know, everything is same. And then the book starts explaining so many paranormal experiences to capture you. As if the philosophy ends here and now the book needs paranormal experiences to keep the author hooked to the book. Beautiful paranormal experiences. They are given there. They talk about the strength of a self-realized person. There is one Baba whose name is called Tiger Baba. This Tiger Baba has got the strength to wrestle with tigers and kill tigers. And the Tiger Baba has got this strength by the power of his tapasya, austerity. Which is also fine, because Srila Prabhupada time and again says that we will get spiritual strength as well as physical strength by following celibacy. The power of celibacy is very high. If we retain semen, we don't spill semen in illicit sex, be it outside marriage or within the institution of marriage, except for producing children, then one can get spiritual power as well as one can get very good health. One will not dwindle at the age of 40, 45. Oh, bas ho gaya, you know, gone. All energy is drained out, you know, like that. So that is very important. And the same thing they are also saying. This Baba, by the practice of his meditation and celibacy, he had the power to fight with tigers. In fact, whole pastime is given on how one great king of, you know, some prince of Calcutta invited this person and asked him and put the most ferocious tiger in front of him, and how in front of everyone this Baba finished the tiger. And he had so many wounds, you know. So, but still, he was so strong. So he was called Tiger Baba. There is another paranormal experience. By the power of meditation, the train is about to leave Calcutta, and the disciple of the spiritual master is praying to the spiritual master, who is a Mayavadi, saying that, will I not get your darshan? Because I have arrived late to this station. And then it is mentioned that the train was chugging but not moving on the platform. And he says everyone in Calcutta station witnessed this. This was during the British rule of India. The train is going chugging but no. And when they sat, then the train started moving. And it is mentioned that the ticket collector did not know how to explain this phenomenon. So it's paranormal. So it hooks you onto the book. It says, come on, read further. Now when this kind of thing is presented, who will not continue reading? It's a maja aa raha hai. Let us read. You know, it's fun. So let's continue reading. And then one skeptic is there. You know, he says, I was explaining spiritual science to this skeptic and he did not believe me. I told him my guru is in the Himalayas and he can do many, many paranormal things, and he did not believe me. As if to answer my question, my guru appeared in front of me then and there. This was again, you know, and then the mystic, how the skeptic surrenders to that guru. Just because he appeared at some place which is paranormal. For example, if my wife tells me, come home, I cannot suddenly appear. I'll say, no, I have to take the tram, I have to take permission from my boss. Hold on, it will take 1 hour for me to reach home. You know, I cannot just appear somewhere. You know? So when somebody is appearing like this, then for a person like me, I said, oh wow, this is paranormal, you know, superhuman, not possible. And then the skeptic immediately surrenders. Simply because that person appeared at that place. Then there is another instance which is given of a self-realized person who is somewhere else, and the disciple knows that the train, the spiritual master is arriving in the train at 10:30 in Calcutta station, and then the disciple is ready to go. But the spiritual master appears in front of him and tells him, no, 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 my train is a bit late, it will come only at 11:30, you come to the station. And the spiritual master can appear here, then why can't he simply come there? Why does he need a train? That was my first question. You know, he appears and tells him, you come later. And then he goes to the station, and exactly at 11:30 that train arrives. So these are all, you know, very superhuman experience which I saw there. Then it talks about how when he met his spiritual master one day, the spiritual master was levitating in the air. He was in the air, and then he was looking down at the disciple and then saying that, okay, okay. No. And then he came down. No, he arrived, so I'll come down. No, like that. So, lot of such phenomenon. Also, the disciple is being called by the spiritual master. Come to the Himalayas. And the disciple's boss is saying, no, sorry, he's a railway employee. I cannot give you leave. You don't have any leaves. And then next day, the same boss comes and says that you have been transferred to the foothills of the Himalayas. Like that. And then he goes to the Himalayas, and then there is a voice which calls him. He goes, and then there is a cave. He meets a spiritual master, and his spiritual master tells that I have come in the mind of your boss and made him transfer you to the Himalayas just so that we can be reunited. Do you remember me from the past lives? And he gives him all this knowledge. And this person becomes the next in the disciplic succession of acharyas. Like that. And then his spiritual master tells him, but however, you cannot remain with me. You have to go to the world and do your karma. Which means you have to continue acting as an employee of the government. And then at the right time, then you can come. Like that. So with great reluctance, he goes there. And then when he goes back, the boss tells that your transfer to the Himalayas was as a result of an error. So he reverses the transfer and he goes back home. So then the spiritual master comes and tells him, all this was only because I had to meet you. So I came in the mind of your boss and made him take such a decision. So which means these transcendentalists can even control the minds of others. So all this is there in that, in the Mayavadi book. So when you read all these things, then you say, wow, you know, this is great. Like that. But then the question which kept coming to my mind is, so what? There are four problems: birth, disease, old age, and death. And all these people are dying of all these problems. So what if I am able to manifest somewhere? At the end of the day, there will be one time when I cannot manifest anymore. Right? So this is the, so some basic questions still remain unanswered here. Now, all this was very interesting part. Then came the lousy part of the book. Let me read, and it will be shocking from how confused these people are. Despite all these things which sound very nice, now the confusion part starts. One of the statements was, you are a part and parcel of the divine light, and self-realization is realizing that the divine light is the cause of all causes, which is partially true. Therefore, through yoga, you must do meditation unto that divine light. Partially true. Not false. Slowly coming to falsity now. From partial truism or whatever you can call. And then they say, the final goal of human existence is kaivalya, or merging into the absolute light. That is the final goal of life. And again, this is the Sayujya Mukti, which is actually condemned by devotees. And that is the goal. What is condemned by devotees is the goal for them. Like that. The worst came when they said somewhere in the book that Lord Krishna, who is referred to as India's greatest prophet teachers, who propounded Kriya Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. And then it was impossible to read the book. After that, the real austerity started going through that. No? Okay. And the same Lord Krishna mentions in, I think, 5th or 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita about inhaling the breath and merging into the outgoing breath. So Lord Krishna also taught about the Kriya Yoga as the process of self-realization in Kali Yoga. That is why he told Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Brahman, in a former incarnation, in this incarnation, Brahman was Lord Krishna. So Brahman itself says that in a former incarnation, Arjuna, I have told you the same message. They are talking about that. What is that verse? Evam parampara praptam. They are quoting that, and they are completely, you know, distorting that, saying that, you know, Brahman in a previous incarnation had told, you know, like that. And in this incarnation, incidentally, the prophet is called as Krishna. Like that. So slowly then it starts deviating, completely corrupting the pristine message of the Bhagavad Gita. And that's where it becomes intolerable. Further, to add salt to the wound, you know, they say that the theological approach towards God is a bullock cart, whereas meditation in the Himalayas is the fast track. Which is completely opposite of what Srimad Bhagavatam says. Okay. So there is a complete contradiction. Now, where I got completely convinced that we are saved is at this point in time. They say that this person who is the author, he has got a guru, who he says is the perfected person. That guru says that his guru is the perfected person. That guru says that his guru is the perfected person. And I was tracing the lineage. And the lineage stops at Agastya Muni. And that is where I thought, fine, I've got the end now. Who is Agastya Muni? Son of Pulastya. Who is Pulastya? Son of Brahma. And who is Brahma? Brahma is the one who is telling here that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So by simply understanding this, we understand that what a suboptimal philosophy and realization that is. The same Brahma is talking to Narada here and telling him that I am not the cause of all causes. There is a Supreme Personality who is Lord Krishna, not simply a Supreme Brahman. He says there is a person. Krishna is a person. Bhagavan is not some insentient jad energy. Just like, you know, Keshav Prabhu was once in our Bhakti Vedanta class, he was mentioning that there is some, you know, in some other religion, they say the God who sits on his throne in judgment. That's all. Just imagine. God is just sitting on the throne in judgment. Even the Supreme Court lawyer also sits, you know, in judgment full day. After some time he gets bored. You know. Is that all that God does? Just sits on the throne in judgment. So they have no access to what is happening beyond the veil or parda of Brahman. They have no understanding. That beyond that Brahman, beyond that impersonal effulgence, is infinite variegated activity which is going on. They have no idea. A simple example is a train. I traveled by a lot of local trains. Recently we went to Vrindavan and then I was in Bombay. So you see the local train. In the dead of the night, the local train is coming. You can hear a sound. Like that, the sound is there. And then the light is approaching. So your understanding is light is approaching along with sound. When it comes, then you see, no, it's not only light. There is a big engine. Then there are a lot of compartments. And then when you go inside and look, then you'll find, there are a lot of people sitting inside. Some mother is feeding the daughter. Somebody is sleeping. Some people are playing cards. So many things are there inside that. So there's a lot of activity which is going on. But when you have a suboptimal realization, then you think, that's all this is. It's all about light. But beyond the light, there are so many things happening. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that these Mayavadis do not have access to Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the basic problem of Mayavadi philosophy. They have access to Bhagavad Gita, but they don't have any access to Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, without hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot understand the personal aspect of Bhagavan. Even through Bhagavad Gita, that is not adequate. One has to read Srimad Bhagavatam, study Srimad Bhagavatam, go back and read the Bhagavad Gita to be able to derive that message. So the ultimate message is that the cause of all causes is Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadiradir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karana. Now this Mayavadi philosophy further, where they are confused. Every instance of miracle, they talk about God came and saved. And suddenly they talk about that God who we refer to is that Shiva. Now we all know that Shiva also has got a form. So on one hand you say God is Shiva. On the other hand you say God is formless. And then we all know that Shiva has got a form. Right? Suddenly they talk about, in a temple, they talk about some miracle which is happening. And they say that this miracle, God has Kali personally appeared in front of my spiritual master. With her trident and whatever. So they are describing full form of Goddess Kali and then saying God is impersonal. So there is a contradiction there. And that contradiction is not at all explained in the book. I thought somewhere else they will, till the end of the book, that contradiction is not gone. So therefore, Mayavadis are a very confused set of people. And this is the best Mayavadi book. There is no better Mayavadi book than this. This is the world accepted Mayavadi book. World bestseller book. That's why I thought I'll read from that only. So it's completely bogus philosophy. Completely confused. There is a lot of merit because they follow celibacy. They are realizing something which is above the mundane. But still their realizations. Now I'll tell you what is their ultimate realization throughout the book that comes. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the ultimate that everyone gets? The darshan of Lord, the love of God, right? At least Lord comes in the personal form and then Lord takes them, then they are playing with the Lord or they are cooking for the Lord. They are doing something, permanent association with the Lord. But for these people, throughout the book, whether it is the chela or whether the guru or whether it is the paramaguru, their realization is ending the way they describe, I'll tell you. And I was sitting and then I achieved the perfection of my yoga when I saw the divine light all around me. I was feeling lighter than the air and I was feeling as if I am floating. Suddenly, I saw in the banks of the river Ganges, I saw a small farmer who was moving around. Which means what? Sitting here, simply it means that sitting here, you are seeing something which is distant, which you can even see through a binocular. Right? Now, is that the perfection of life? But they present it in such a way, because it is something which is paranormal, we think it is transcendental. Not everything which is paranormal is transcendental. Paranormal experiences are available even within the realm of material world. It just is a higher science that we do not know of. So they are just operating on a higher level of science. And at the end of the day, if you see, all the achievements of their spiritual masters come under the domain of siddhis, siddhis and siddhis. Siddhis means what? Mystic powers. Alright? But here in this verse it is mentioned, all different types of meditation or mysticism are means for realizing Narayana. But for them, the book ends with paranormal experiences and mysticism. There is nothing beyond that. They don't even have access to Lord Narayana. And our philosophy begins there. The head of all this, the head Muni, I don't want to name, but no, of course, the student of Agastya Muni, he is the head of their parampara. They describe about his activities. They say he's lived for thousands of years. He is youthful. He is very youthful. Even now he looks like a teenage boy, like that, a young boy. Their guru. And then he lives in the Himalayas. And what does he do? He moves from one place to another. At will. He just says, and he speaks Hindi. They say he speaks Hindi. The head of the Mayavadis. And then he says, chalo. Something he says. Boriya bistar bandke chalo. Something like that he says. And then everyone is flying. And manifesting in another place in the Himalayas. Now the goal of life obviously should be definitely something higher than moving from one part of the Himalayas to another part of the Himalayas. And he has been doing that for thousands of years. And I am thinking that, okay, let's say I will follow your philosophy. But will I not get bored? Traveling in the Himalayas from one place to the another, if that is an eternal activity, at some point in time we will get fed up of the Himalayas. And the goal of life is not, moving, astral movement in the Himalayas. So, it really does not talk anything more than that. So, when we read now Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that the meditation which the great yogis are doing in one of the later cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam, probably 10th or 12th canto, 10th canto I think, it is mentioned, Dhyana Vastita Tad Gatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino. These yogis, whatever they are meditating on, ultimately, after many, many lifetimes, they will realize that the end of their meditation, the goal of their meditation is the two-handed bending form of the Supreme Lord Shyam Sundar. But they take many lifetimes. But for a devotee, that realization is already available even to a child here in this room. So therefore, and then on top of that, they have, they have the so-called, audacity to say that ours is the fast track. How far out that is? If it's fast track, why is your guru spending so many years there, moving in the Himalayas? Still meditating. Whereas the Vaishnava finishes his meditation and goes there and lives with Krishna, eternally meditating there along with Krishna. So therefore there are a lot of suboptimalities involved in this philosophy. So these people do not understand the cause of all causes. Now here in this chapter we will find that Narad Muni, he is a Mahajan. Swayambhu, Narado, Shambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu. Who is that Swayambhu? That Swayambhu is also Brahma only. Right? That Narad is also Mahajan, Brahma is also Mahajan. So one Mahajan is asking the Mahajan, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now why this conversation? So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the earlier purports that this is so that this knowledge can be reiterated for the benefit of all of us. Even Arjuna, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, as much as Arjuna was bewildered in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in the same way, Lord Krishna is also putting Narada into a temporary bewilderment. So that then he can have this conversation with Brahmaji. So that is the answer Srila Prabhupada gives. There are few learnings that come out. One key learning from this section is that though Narad Muni is a Mahajana, he is showing us that one should not accept one's guru as God blindly. See, Brahma was manifesting so many paranormal things. Now, if you actually see whatever examples I told of Mayavadi, What did he do? Maximum, he stopped a train in Calcutta. Right? Correct? But Brahmaji created that body along with that. He assembled the body, mind and intelligence, everything together of that person who created that train. If you go back, you will understand that Brahmaji's feats are much, much superhuman than all these smaller feats which I mentioned from the Mayavadi book. So how great is Brahma then? Then that Brahma should be God, right? But Narad Muni, despite the fact that he is completely seeing Brahma creating this whole material world, still he is not accepting Brahma as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the learning is that we should not accept our Guru as God blindly. Guru is the representative of God, but Guru is never God. If you see Srila Prabhupada also, even when Srila Prabhupada was blasphemed by his disciples, even when his Srila Prabhupada's disciples did not cooperate with Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada did not punish them. Prabhupada gave them sannyas. Right? If you read Lilamrata, you'll find there were few people who were creating trouble for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave them sannyas and told them, now you go and preach. So Prabhupada did not punish them. He rewarded them actually. Right? But the moment they realized their mistake and then they went on the other side and started calling Srila Prabhupada as God, Srila Prabhupada banned them from ISKCON. So Srila Prabhupada did not reward them, saying that, you called me God, thank you very much. Take this reward. No, Srila Prabhupada said, go out of ISKCON. He banned them. Because that is what a real Acharya is. A real Acharya will never say that I am Bhagavan. No soul has the right adhikar to call himself as Bhagavan, because we are not Bhagavan. We are not the cause of all causes. So Narad Muni is also showing here that simply because the Guru is showing superhuman feats, we cannot accept him. He is still questioning. But you are still deriving your energy from somewhere else. Who is that person? That person must be God. The other lesson is, he is still, Narad Muni, is trying to understand who is that Bhagavan through his Guru. He is not speculating on his own. So he is asking questions. And Brahmaji is very pleased with him also. He is asking these questions. And Srila Prabhupada writes, these questions of Narad Muni, which is asking of Lord Brahma, form the genesis of knowledge that is flowing down in the Brahma Sampradaya. In the earlier purport, Prabhupada writes that. So that was about Narad Muni's side. Lord Brahma's side also, there is a lot of learning for us. Lord Brahma, as we said before, he is also a devotee, another Mahajana. And Prabhupada writes in the earlier purport that when Narad Muni asked him this question, that who is it that you are meditating on, Brahma became very enthusiastic. Why? Prabhupada writes, it is the nature of a devotee to become very enthusiastic whenever questioned about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, this time, we took a train from Vrindavan. After Vrindavan Yatra, usually we fly into Bombay. But this time, my wife suggested that we'll take the train. And my son also liked the train journey, August Kranti Express. So we booked that and we sat inside the train. So there were, four of us, myself, her, Aditya, and then one gentleman on my side. And on the, in Indian trains, how they are, opposite side, that other aisle is there. So one person was sitting over there and one in the upper berth. So then we sat inside and, because normally in Vrindavan, we chant, we keep chanting as much as possible during Kartik Yatra. We sat in the train and then, either you or me, who was chanting at that time? You were chanting. Huh? Okay, one of us was chanting at that time. So then this person, he suddenly looked and said, "Aap log bahut achha kaam kar rahe ho, ye chanting karte ho." He said, "You are doing a very nice activity by this chanting." And then when someone tells that to us, then what happens? Pakdo usko. Okay. And then he asked, "Ye kya hai exactly?" And I said, "Aajo." Okay. Then for next, I think 2-3 hours we were speaking about Krishna consciousness. Okay. And then the whole train was filled with a spiritual atmosphere. So as devotees, because we have Krishna inside our heart, we are very eager to give. Even we may have very little of Krishna, but still that little is so satisfying. We want to give it to everyone and make others happy. So what to speak of Lord Brahma here? Narad Muni is going and asking him, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So you can imagine the enthusiasm of Brahma to now give philosophy to Narad Muni like that. Of course, Narad Muni's, conversation with Narad Muni was a big success. But my conversation with that Prabhuji was a bit of an anticlimax. after hearing all the philosophy, next day morning, Surat station came. This gentleman got down. Before that, he made a statement. I said, my God. He told me, जो भी है भगवान जो भी हो टाइम पास तो हो गया गाड़ी में आपके साथ बात करके ही सर आई सर माई गॉड सॉरी इन इंग्लिश आई ट्रांसलेट ही सेड यू नो वॉट एवर इट मे बी स्पिरिचुअलिटी गॉड एक्सेट्रा एटलीस्ट आई हैड अ नाइस टाइम यू नो टाइम वेंट अवे सो नाइसली इन द ट्रेन यू नो एंड देन सेइंग दैट ही गॉट अवे एंड देन ही सेड बाय बाय सर आर यू बट स्टिल इवन दो ही मेट अ फेड लाइक दैट देर इज एटलीस्ट समथिंग एटलीस्ट यू नो He got introduced to Hare Krishna Mahamantra and the need for chanting. He got introduced to what is the goal of life. At least sometime, when he's in life, something might click somewhere. And he will remember that, I had that conversation with sometime. Maybe that knowledge I want to try now. Same thing happened with me also. I was a hard nut to crack when I was in college. I was given this knowledge. I said, tum log iskan wale log aise hi bolta. I used to argue like that. You iskan people, you always talk like this only. That you have to chant. That Krishna is supreme person that I have got it. That's because you are from ISKCON, you are saying like that. No? If you come to Prabhadevi Ganesh temple, they will tell you that Ganesh is supreme person that I have got it. No? So I used to argue like this. So it took me a long while. And then what happened? Despite telling that this material world will frustrate you one day, I said, kuch nahi hai, wo to kya frustration. I am in control of my life. I have got an MBA degree from a premium business school. What do you mean? I am in control of my life. Like that. And then when things started dwindling after that, I realized, maybe I am not the controller after all. And then when frustration happened, then suddenly started looking, is this the goal of life? I thought that all along, getting into this job, getting into this company, getting into this salary bracket, is the goal of life. That is a supreme achievement above all my batchmates. And then when you are there finally, then you realize, now what? After this. So it will never satisfy. Material life will never satisfy us. So it is very important to understand that the goal of life is not to simply eat, sleep, mate and defend. But there is a higher goal. This life is meant for self-realization. But for understanding the process of self-realization, without understanding who is the cause of all causes, though you may be convinced that self-realization is the goal of life, but you will not follow the right process for that self-realization. Because the philosophy drives the process and the process decides the goal where you land up. So if philosophy itself is wrong, then the process is also suboptimal and the goal is also suboptimal. What to speak of the goal being wrong? Sometimes people land in the gutter also. If you land in Brahman, it's good actually. It's a good achievement. But most people don't land in Brahman, they land somewhere else. Many people, even in Vrindavan, so many apasampradayas when we visited this time are going on. Some Acharya is calling himself as the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has created a fantastic temple worth crores of rupees. More than Krishna's photograph, so people who visited tell me that his photographs are there over there. If you visit ISKCON temple, whose photographs you will find more? Of Krishna, not of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada never put himself ahead of Lord Krishna. It's not International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. It is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That was the integrity of Srila Prabhupada in his mission. So most of the missions at the top level lack in this integrity. And because they lack in this integrity, they land up somewhere else completely in their lives. And then they are bewildered and they lose faith also in spiritual life. Therefore, it is very important to associate ourselves with a bona fide sampradaya. Read this, study the Srimad Bhagavatam and understand who is the cause of all causes. Then our life will be perfect because our process will be perfect after that. So I'll stop here. Ask if there are any questions, comments, corrections. They say that we have to love light. They are convinced with that. They say that the divine providence will come and help. And it actually happens. In one of the pastimes, what happens is, there is one skeptic who doesn't believe in God. This is the elder brother of the author of the book. The elder brother of the author says, you have become a yogi. So God does not protect. Nothing. So they say, no, we will show you. Then his elder brother challenges, okay, you do one thing. From here, you go all the way to Vrindavan and Agra and come back. But you should not have any money in your pocket. You should not have any food. జస్ట్ లైక్ ద ఆస్ట్రేలియన్ ఇమిగ్రేషన్, నో, త్రో ఆల్ యువర్ ఫుడ్ అవే వెన్ యూఆర్ ఎంటరింగ్ ద కంట్రీ లైక్ దాట్. సో నథింగ్ షుడ్ బి దేర్, నో మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ సస్టెనెన్స్ ఎక్సెప్ట్ ఫర్ యువర్ ధోతి, నథింగ్ షుడ్ బి దేర్ ఆన్ యూ, బట్ యూ షుడ్ సక్సెస్ఫుల్లీ గో టు ఆగ్రా అండ్ కమ్ బ్యాక్. విల్ యూ డూ దట్? ఐ సెడ్ యెస్, గాడ్ విల్ ప్రొవైడ్ ఫర్ అస్, ప్రొవిడెన్స్ విల్ ప్రొవైడ్ ఫర్ అస్ లైక్ దట్. అండ్ వెన్ దే యాక్చువల్లీ టేక్ ద జర్నీ, దే గో అండ్ సిట్ ఇన్ ద ట్రైన్, అండ్ ఇన్ ద ట్రైన్ సమ్వన్ కమ్స్ అండ్ యాక్చువల్లీ ప్రొవైడ్స్ ఫర్ దెమ్ ద ట్రైన్ టికెట్. వెన్ దే ల్యాండ్ ఇన్ వృందావన్, ద ప్రిన్స్, వన్ ఆఫ్ ద రాయల్ ఫ్యామిలీస్ ఇన్వైట్స్ దెమ్ ఫర్ డిన్నర్, ఫర్ లంచ్, అండ్ దే హ్యావ్ ద లంచ్. వెన్ దే గెట్ ఆఫ్, దే సిట్ అండర్ ట్రీ, దే డోంట్ నో వాట్ టు డూ, అండ్ వేర్ ఆర్ దే? దే ఆర్ ఇన్ వృందావన్ అండర్ ట్రీ. దెన్ ప్రొవిడెన్స్ కమ్స్ అండ్ స్టిల్ హెల్ప్స్ దెమ్. అండ్ వన్ ఫెలో కమ్స్ అండ్ గివ్స్ దమ్ మనీ, సేయింగ్ దట్ యు నో, ఐ జస్ట్ థాట్ ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ దిస్ డొనేషన్, యూ లుక్ లైక్ సెయింట్లీ పర్సనాలిటీస్. అండ్ దెన్ దే కమ్ బ్యాక్ హోమ్, అండ్ దెన్ ద బ్రదర్, టు ద బ్రదర్ దే ప్రూవ్ దట్ లుక్, వి డిడ్ అవర్ జర్నీ అండ్ దిస్ ఇస్ క్యాష్ ఆల్సో విచ్ వీ హ్యావ్ గాట్. సో విచ్ మీన్స్ వాట్? విచ్ మీన్స్ లార్డ్, యాక్చువల్లీ ఇఫ్ యూ సీ, లార్డ్ లవ్స్ ద మాయావతీస్ ఆల్సో, కరెక్ట్? నౌ స్టిల్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద హైయెస్ట్ గోల్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్? రిసీవింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ భగవాన్, ఇస్ దట్ ఆల్? సో ఐ వాజ్ ఆల్సో థింకింగ్, ఓ మై గాడ్, లార్డ్ ఈస్ మేకింగ్ దీస్ పీపుల్ సక్సెస్ఫుల్ ఇన్ దేర్ పారానార్మల్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్, విచ్ మీన్స్ స్టిల్ కెన్ వీ సే దట్ దిస్ ఇస్ అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్ జస్ట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దట్? ఇస్ దిస్ ద హైయెస్ట్ రియలైజేషన్? ఆల్ అరౌండ్ ఇన్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం, ఈవెన్ ఇన్ చైతన్య చరితామృత, వీ సీ దట్ వెన్ రఘునాథ్ దాస్ గోస్వామి ఈస్ మెడిటేటింగ్ ఇన్ ద హాట్ సన్, రాధారాణి ఈస్ పర్సనలీ స్టాండింగ్ విత్ ద వీల్. బట్ హియర్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ పర్సనలీ డిడ్ నాట్ కమ్, హీ జస్ట్ ప్రొవైడెడ్ క్యాష్ టు దెమ్ త్రూ సమ్వన్, హీ పర్సనలీ డిడ్ నాట్ కమ్ ఫర్ ద డివోటీ. లార్డ్ పర్సనలీ, రాధారాణి పర్సనలీ కమ్స, కృష్ణ ఈస్ పర్సనలీ స్టాండింగ్, ద టైగర్ ఇస్ దేర్ అండ్ యునో గోస్వామి ఈస్ మెడిటేటింగ్, కృష్ణ ఈస్ స్టాండింగ్ గార్డ్ లైక్ దట్. సో దెర్ ఇస్ అ పర్సనల్ రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ ద గాడ్. Does it make sense now? So when I was also meditating on that example, what is lacking here? It sounds very nice that Lord is protecting, but Lord is protecting even the karmis. Even when the karmis go, many times Lord protects them. Lord is giving daily bread to everyone. So that is not the highest realization. Just because the Lord gave them and saw them through the journey, it doesn't mean they have understood the highest philosophy of absolute truth. So it's pretty suboptimal. Okay. So is that a statement or a question?
It's a question that yes, I'm thinking right way or is I'm doing something wrong there?
You're thinking the right way. But I'll explain it in a different way. In your, this is your son? You're married or no?
Yes.
Okay. You have a child? No. Okay. So let, no, this, your son? Okay. So your son used to play with toys. You like toys? Ah, you don't like toys, huh? Oh my God. You should join the Brahmachari Ashram. most children love to play. He must be Prahlad Maharaj then. Prahlad Maharaj did not like toys. As a child, all of us played with toys, right? I remember I had a fetish for cars. No? So lot of cars, trucks, buses. And I wanted to always, my childhood dream was always to drive that, you know, what is that called as go-karting. At time go-karting was not there, but there were those pedaled cars, you know, like that. So I used to love, you know, full day I used to, you know, sit with my cars and play. Can I say that I'm afraid of growing up because then I will not enjoy playing with the cars? Today, am I disappointed? Oh my God, I used to like so much playing with cars. Now I'm saying car, dash, you know, I'm not liking it. Can I say like that? I can't. Because when you get a higher realization about the goals of life, automatically the lower goals of life will go away. But it will not go away on its own. One has to get a higher realization. Just when I became, you know, a mature young lad, I mean, I still was not very mature, but still, by age, some maturity came, then I automatically gave up playing with toys. I realized that, acha, what was giving me joy earlier is not actually the one which, there are some higher truths than that. There are some higher pleasures than that, right? So that is how we, that is, so I'm giving you a mundane example. Now you put that in this bracket. So yes, definitely growing in the organization or promotions and dealing with big people and, you know, all this will give us a kick in life. No doubt about it, you know. And people will also look at us. Ye toh bada saab hai yaar, kya kaha baat karta hai ye, you know, like that, you know. We will get some cheap adoration from people. But at the end of the day, we will still not get that happiness which we want. Because Srila Prabhupada says that actually the source, the soul is searching for Krishna. We are actually searching for eternal happiness of our heart. That is our nature. We are in an artificial environment. This material world is an artificial environment. Today, I may say that my goal of life is to become, let's say for example, you know, because I'm into this line, I'll say the goal of my life is to become the best SAP consultant, you know, let us say. But SAP is at the end of a software. This software does what? It automates business processes. What is the end of business processes in a bank? Ultimately to give loan to someone. Why does someone need loan? Ultimately buy a house or a car or insurance, something, correct? Why does someone buy insurance? Because of the fear of death. Right? Correct, no? Why does someone buy a car? Because he wants to enjoy. Right? But all of us have cars also. Are we enjoying? So the whatever goals the bank is working towards, if you see it in a different light. Whatever goals the bank is working towards to satisfy the customer may get a car, but can the bank give happiness to the customer with that car? All of us anyway are customers also of the bank. All of us are happy with our cars. Can we sit in our car full day? Even if you have the latest Lamborghini model, can you sit in that car full day and enjoy and get happiness? No. So whatever we are searching for at the end of all that work is also failing to give us happiness. When you buy the first house, how excited you are. Oh, 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom in Truganina or Tarnet or even Turak, for example. Multi-storied house with a garden. First day you are very happy. 1 week you are very happy. After that what happens? You get used to it. When all of us purchased our house, we were very happy, no? When we got permanent residency in Australia, how happy we were. But today, are we all jumping? I'm a PR. No, so what PR? No. There is no permanent residency anyway in this material world. One day, we are going to get kicked out. Correct? So, if we really start delving deeper into the basic questions of life, then we will understand the need for spirituality in our life. If we don't question, we will never understand. We will just work like donkeys and die like dogs at the end of the day. One day, these corporations for who you work very hard, for who you lose your family time, who you lose your personal happiness, so many things we sacrifice for that, that organization will not even think twice before kicking us out of that job when the demand goes down. They will say, thank you very much for your kind services. 1 month notice. Correct? You agree? Is it going to love you? No. There's only one person who loves us, that is Krishna. So why not work for the person who is reliable, who is going to give us that happiness, rather than working for... It doesn't mean we should give up our jobs. Huh? Please don't take it that way. Because a devotee sees the job in a different way. A devotee also works hard in office. Devotees are not kamchor people, you know, who avoid work. Devotees also work hard. They also try to excel in their jobs. The thing is that devotee takes that job as the desire of Krishna in his life, in our life. The Lord has given us that job because with the money that we earn from the job, we use it to maintain a Krishna conscious family. We make our home a temple. We use it to cook prasadam and feed prasadam. We use our house to spread the message of Krishna bhakti. But for that you should have a house, no? For which you should have money. For that you should have a job, right? So we see our job in relation to Krishna all the time. Now when you see that, then going to office becomes your bhakti yoga. You don't have to stop going to office. Then that working becomes bhakti yoga. Then that excellence which you do on your job, you are doing for Krishna. So devotees do everything that others do. But simply the consciousness is different. The activities externally are the same. And the purpose of that activity is also different. The purpose of that activity is that, let me finish my duties, my earthly duties, and then concentrate full time in Krishna consciousness. Does it make sense? So the approach is different. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.